This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
We have just come out of our most successful radiothon ever, raised $303,000.
$303,000. Roughly the number.
That's Melinda Rich, the president of Joy, and Mel joins us now. $303,000. That is an extraordinary amount. We got there, and we got there because our community supported us, our sponsors supported us, our patrons supported us, whether it was $5 or $5,000. Every dollar is important, isn't it, Mel?
Oh, absolutely. There's 300,000 of them, but, you know, every little bit counts. And, you know, you get to the end of the six-week radiothon period and you just have this tremendous sense of achievement and pride. And seeing the community come together and support the station is just an absolutely amazing thing. I had the chance to be here on the Dollar for Dollar radiothon donation show with Gary and Jeff, huge supporters of ours. Just the energy in the station was amazing. We had people answering the phone and, you know, yelling out when they got big donations. I was here on the last morning, so Friday the 30th. I think we had about 18,000 to go on that last day. And I thought, oh, okay, let's give it a nudge. Let's get it. And we got there. Tennille, our CEO, was sort of sending me texts through the day, sort of keeping me updated. So it was a bit of a distracting day at work, but lovely level of distraction when you've got that going on. And I think the key is, you know, like we set a target and we went for it. Mm. We really went for it. Everyone pulled together and we got there. And it's that collective effort that got us there.
And I think it's important, you know, that everyone understands we don't get government funding.
None.
We get zero. We've had support from state government.
We've had the odd grants.
Over the years. But
that's true. Yep.
You know, but at the end of the day, we rely on our sponsors, we rely on our patrons, we rely on our members and our listeners to get us to that point, because it's an expensive business running even a community radio station.
Well, it's about $1 million a year, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So it's about $2,700 a day, right? So when you think about it in those terms, that's an awful lot of money that we have to find. You know, we probably found about, well, we found a third of it in 6 weeks. So I think that's one of the challenges that we've still got as a station, you know, continuing to look for sources of funding and also trying to smooth it out. So, you know, it's wonderful that
so it's not lumpy. It doesn't come in peaks and troughs.
Our costs sort of track relatively evenly through the year. And then we have to pedal hard, and we did this year, to get this big amount of money in sort of 6 weeks. But it would be great if we could smooth out the revenue as well. So that's one of the things that we're going to focus on as a board. You know, tapping into those different sources of funding, you know, our patrons, our members, but, you know, more of the corporate stuff, you know, pitching our value to them. So there's plenty of challenges around that. And if, you know, if we as a board could do that over the next couple of years, you know, try and get, I guess, broaden our base of funding, de-risk it, then that would be terrific.
Now, one of the other challenges we've got coming up, and now it's still a couple of years away, is Pride Centre and moving there. You were at, I think it was at last Saturday?
Yep, last Saturday, that's right.
A consultation meeting about what the centre's doing, how it's progressing along. Can you give us a bit of an update on that?
Yeah, sure. So the whole Pride Centre board were down at the Port Melbourne Town Hall last Saturday and got a big turnout from all sorts of different
about
community groups.
About 80-odd people, I hear.
Yeah, it's about that. Yep, so big room. And I guess, you know, what they were trying to do with that half day was kind of give a bit of a status update about what's happened. And it's actually really great because a lot has happened since it got announced. I guess it was only sort of 12, 15 months ago, April 2016. So the board's come together. They've got a governance structure in place. They've got a site. They're starting to think about how they gather funds together to get the Pride Centre built. They're doing a lot of consultation with the community. You know, it was an opportunity for community groups to sort of ask questions and for the board to sort of be out in front and sort of answering some of those questions. I mean, I think there's a lot of questions around sort of detail, which probably won't come for some time.
You mean the detail or the questions or the answers?
Both. Detailed questions, probably more or less detailed answers at this point. I think the key thing was getting a sense of the timing. So it's sort of back half of 2020 is when the sort of Pride Centre is sort of notionally meant to be up and running. And they're going to try and do some stuff around, I guess, a virtual Pride Centre.
So we were actually in the studio here poised to have a live crossover to June last week.
Really?
So the whole thing had been lined up and had been agreed to. But, of course, when you're in the middle of these things, you know,
it's a bit hard
to just cut, especially when you've got 80 stakeholders.
Correct.
The board, the minister was there, I hear.
That's right, yep.
And of course, Jude herself is incredibly charismatic and engaging.
Absolutely,
It didn't happen. But that's okay. What we were really quite keen to get a sense of was what the mood of the communities was like.
Yep.
Can you share some of your impressions of
definitely.
That?
Definitely. I think it's that mixture of excitement that it's happening, but I guess a level of sort of uncertainty about what it all means. So trying to manage that, I think, is the challenge for the Pride Centre board. And I think that was why it was really smart that they decided to have a consultation process, give people the opportunity to ask some questions and get out in front of them and answer those questions. And sometimes, you know, the answer is, I don't know. And that's okay too.
Yeah,
because
sure.
There's a lot of stuff that's yet to unfold.
Well, there's a lot of issues to work through.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, trying to organise a party is one thing, but trying to organise building a facility with a bunch of stakeholders, each of whom have got their own boards of governance, their own governance structures, their own issues, their own needs, their own dynamics, their own stakeholders, trying to bring the whole lot together is a massive challenge.
Oh, it is a massive challenge. And yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, everyone brings their own, you know, their own history and expectations to these discussions, including Joy.
Of course.
You know, we're probably a fair sort of proxy for the community because we are so diverse. You know, this Joy is one of the places where all the sorts of different groups in the community sort of come together. So we probably have quite a good sense of these types of issues, right? Yeah, so look, I think it was a great thing for them to do, get out in front of the community and take some questions.
So let's talk a bit about Joy and the Pride Centre. What are some of Joy's needs that you can talk about?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been part of the discussions with the Pride Centre. So Tanya, our Vice President, has really been sort of heading that up, which has been terrific. We have some quite unique needs being a broadcaster, you know, so that's really been...
Like an aerial, for example.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we needed a site with the technical capabilities, but also line of sight to an antenna so that we can broadcast. And I think there's an opportunity with the Pride Centre also, if we're going to go down there, and we will, let's make sure it's as future-proof as possible. Let's have the latest technology in that place so that we're not constantly sort of playing catch-up and, you know, putting bits and pieces together and just sort of getting ourselves through. So we've got an opportunity to really scope it out and spec it out in a way that's fit for our needs now, but also future-proof. And I guess my other take on this is, you know, I want to see the Pride Centre, maybe this is just me personally talking, but I want to see the Pride Centre be an absolutely iconic building. Yeah.
Yes.
And I want it to be timeless.
I think you've got community support on that.
Yeah.
I think we all want that. Yeah. We want something bold, brassy and big.
Yeah, and I want to want to walk in there the first day it opens and go, wow, this is sensational. And I want to walk in there 20 years from now and go, wow, this is still absolutely sensational. Mm. It's iconic. It's beautiful. It's timeless. It represents us. So, you know, you can only imagine the challenge the architects are going to have trying to sort of bring something like that together. That's going to be a huge task.
Yes, yes, yes. And you mentioned the Virtual Pride Centre earlier on. What's that about? What do you know about that?
I'm probably not as close to that as I should be. I think the Pride Centre Board's got a little bit of money, I think, out of the state government to sort of start
thinking
about this.
Yes, so given $100,000, yep. And we had the minister...
Yeah.
On this very show, actually, a couple of weeks ago, announced that.
Yeah, which is terrific. So I guess that's about sort of using technology to try and build that sense of community in a virtual way in advance of there being a physical sort of sense of community. So they'll be doing some thinking about that. And, yeah, if Joy can be a part of that, we're happy to be a part of that.
We might get the Pride Centre back on again, Macra, and have another conversation about that. Once they've done a bit more thinking.
Exactly. And we're full for the next 2 weeks, Tess.
Well, it might be the week after that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
nice
no
problem
right.
to have.
No,
pipeline of talent.
Yes, yes. It's going out 5 weeks.
Well, actually, they're knocking on our door now, which is pretty good.
You know what? That's absolutely brilliant because they're coming to Joy because they know that when you come on SatMag on Joy, there's a lot of people listening.
We only paid her $20 to say that. I wanted to ask, in terms of the cost, the cost of moving is going to be pretty high.
Yep.
And, you know, let's make an assumption that a lot of the equipment we're going to be able to utilise, but there's going to be, you know, equipment cost as well. We need to start putting our minds to that, don't we?
Absolutely, we do.
Because it's a couple of years away.
Yep.
As well as, you know, Radiothon is our biggest, but we've got to start putting our mind to that, don't we?
And also our equipment looks a bit like it might be sort of part of the last century.
But it works.
Oh, it certainly works, but, I mean, you want to sort of move
into...
Well,
you and
I
look a bit last century too.
Well, I wouldn't know which button to press, so it's completely and utterly
beyond. Luckily, we've got some great people operating our panels here.
Have we got any sort of a handle on what that cost might be, Mel?
Yeah, we've done some rough numbers. You know, it's a big number. You know, we're probably talking up towards $500,000.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really big number. When you think about, we just did Radiothon 300,000, and that's Radiothon's about just keeping us doing what we do as a matter of course, let alone a step out sort of opportunity like the Pride Centre. So. That's going to be a big challenge. You know, the Pride Centre is thinking about, you know, all of the funding they need and, you know, hopefully we'll be a part of that. But, I think, Joyce, we're going to have some sort of thinking and some sort of structure and some sort of campaign to energise our community and get some funds together so that we can move down there and be a part of it.
We don't want a case of... deep pockets and short arms.
No, absolutely not.
No,
which is
we actually have a question here. Graham from Brunswick says, "Hi guys, would you please ask Mel when the launch of the Joy Patrons Bequest program is to occur?" I'm not even sure what that is, Mel.
Oh, okay. So, that's on the radar. I don't have an exact date, but that's something one of our little working groups on the board are looking at. So I guess as a board we've been thinking about sources of funding and a lot of community organisations and not-for-profits have a bequest program. Mm. So, you know, it's not a nice thing to think about, you know, when you pass on, but, you know, what can you do when that situation happens? You can leave a lasting legacy. So we're trying to put together, I guess, a bequest program and let people know how they can contribute to Joy in that way. We have actually had a couple of bequests that have come through in the last couple of years, which has been really, really pleasing. You know, people wanting to support Joy in a difficult circumstance.
So this is actually leaving your estate
part of your will. Estate.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. Yep. So what happens
to that money when you get it?
At the moment, you know, we've just taken the funds. But what we want to do is have a much more sort of formal governance structure around that. Have a little, I guess, a separate. part of our sort of financial structure where that money can go. And I think, you know, the part of the sort of ideal sort of use of that type of money would be, you know, putting it towards us moving into the Pride Centre perhaps, because that's the call to action, I think, that really energises people to make some significant contributions to Joy and have that lasting impact.
And people can make, you know, specific bequests. They might say, I want this money to be used for this, you know, it might be, you know, to buy new microphones for the next 5 years, or it might be, you know, a scholarship or something like that.
Definitely.
And so our listeners can do that.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
if one
of
our listeners decides that they're actually going to help us out,
Joy's in my will.
Get me a new set of headphones, because mine are all torn and sometimes one ear works, the other doesn't.
Might be the size of your ears, too.
It might be that too, Macca. But they have been here well before I got here.
Yes.
So it's possible that...
You could buy a set.
I could buy a set too, of course.
And let's not let that through to the keeper. Macca just said he's made a bequest to Joy as well.
There's a bequest to Joy and one other organisation, Queer Film, in my will. And, you know, I think it has been, you know, a lot of people have done this in the past with other organisations. And it's it's a good thing to do because it helps the organisation continue.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think it's great that, you know, the board, you know, is looking at this and doing this, because for other organisations it has been a great source of funding in the past. And I think for Joy, particularly as we move to Pride Centre and then to stay in the Pride Centre, that's going to cost us money too. So
absolutely,
the treasurer's behind you. Look out!
He's just walked in. We're talking about money, and lo and behold, the treasurer appears.
Oh, yeah, he can sniff a $20 note at 40 paces. I tell you.
Morning, Ian.
So, look, we've had a very successful radiothon. What does the next 12 months hold, Mel? What's on the agenda for the next 12 months?
Yeah, I think for us, you know, as a board, we've been doing some thinking about a next round of our strategic plan. So sort of that thinking about what we want to do for the next sort of 3 to 5 years. And I think Andy was on last week talking about
some of this. He was great.
Which is great.
We're picking you all off, you see.
Oh, that's okay. We're happy to do it.
I hope you've got your sort of core messages for all of your board members.
Oh, yes. There's a huge PR machine behind the board. Yeah, look, our strategy is about reach and impact and relevance. You know, radio is at the heart of what we do. It's in our DNA. But we're also thinking about what other ways can we engage with the community? What other technologies can we use? We've got podcasts. We've, in fact, got podcast-only shows now. Andy has been a part of some AV content with the stuff that we inherited from Bent TV.
I've got to tell you, some of that's... I have to make an admission, I actually looked at some of myself from Bent TV from the deep, dark past.
Oh, this is the archiving, the digitisation project,
Macca, you had no gels in half of those, have you noticed?
I mean...
And actually, you even had hair. But you used to do that little quip thing on the top.
Yeah, but there's a particular one of me with John Thwaites. The part that was missed out was when we went to the break, and when I came back, he asked for a glass of water, and I got him a glass of water, and then I tripped and spilled it in his lap.
So, and this has been immortalised on film, has it?
Well, that part hasn't, but if you look closely, you can see, that an accident happened.
They're actually a lot of fun to watch, Macca, and I think they're all now online, aren't they?
They are, yeah, on YouTube, and there's
enormous... So hey, what do? You just go to YouTube and search.
Just put in Bent TV.
Macca, Bent TV.
No, not Mac. Put in Bent TV. There's other.
Oh, there's like a, you know, a truckload of old footage. We have got a question from a listener, Mel,
yes.
And the question is from Graham, who asks about a Lord Mayor's Fund that was named after John Oliver Philip Burt. As a bequest fund, and he asks, "What happened to this? Do you have an answer to that question?"
Yeah, no. Look, that's exactly the vehicle that we're going to use for the bequest fund. We just probably haven't been out there talking about it.
Rattling
enough.
McKenzie,
yeah,
man.
That's right.
Okay.
So
the structure's there.
The structure's there, and
what
we've been working on that.
We now need for people to start making contributions to it.
Yeah, so we've got to get out and talk about it, launch it, and I guess let people know how they can engage with it and how they can, leave some money for Joy in their wills.
Graham, thank you for your your question.
Thanks
for
prompting
me. I hope
that
provides you the answer that you were looking for. Oh, we've got another question.
Another one.
Here. This is to the Treasurer, in fact. Please speak to the Treasurer and ask what they are doing to engage in this failing space, mental health and appropriate care. So, Treasurer, can you come and answer that question, or do we need to take that on notice?
I'll maybe take it on notice.
I'll take it on notice.
He wants to take that on notice.
I think that's fair enough. That's a fairly big question without notice. So
I want to know who asked that question. Please name yourself.
No.
If you're listening, 599, please tell us who you are.
No, we'll get back to him.
Well, of course, we'll get back to him. Mr. Treasurer, I can assume that you will come back with a response in writing. Lovely.
Yes.
On letterhead.
Now, we're going to break soon, Mel. So the next 12 months, you want to look at the reach, which I think is important. We need to, and I know we have lots of discussions about it and lots of little things going on behind the scenes, but giving us a greater national voice, podcasts. You know, we already see that the podcasts are going up, and there are podcast-only shows as well.
Absolutely.
But digital. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Digital radio, you mean?
Yeah.
And that's a real watching brief for us. We want to be a part of that. So there's a heap of different channels that I think we need to be across and be a part of. And the fascinating question I have in my mind is, from a strategic perspective, is, you know, if Joy was to sort of start today, what would it be? It probably would be engaged in all of these new technologies and new spaces. So, you know, we keep the broadcasting. It's the heart of us. It's in our DNA. I know that's a phrase I sort of trot out. But let's kind of build our content and get it out through as many channels as we can, because there's people that want to listen to us, not just in the sub-metro sort of licence area in Melbourne. And the practical consideration for me is when we go and talk to corporates and say, this is what we do, if we have a broader reach and bigger impact, that makes those discussions completely different. It's a game changer for those discussions.
And do we have the capacity to count that? Do we have numbers on our reach through the digital platforms as opposed to traditional ways?
Yeah. So we, in terms of the broadcasting stuff, we do a McNair, I think, do a survey. So we get numbers on that. We track our podcasts actively. You know, Tennille reports to us on the board about those. Haven't got the latest figures with me, but, you know, we have seen them going up and up and up. And, you know, this is the environment that we're in now. It's an era of listener sovereignty. People don't want to necessarily have to listen to the radio when we push it out. They want to engage with us in a way.
Listener sovereignty. I like
it. Nice, isn't it?
I've been doing some study. You know, you got to have some big words. People want to listen to us in the time and the place that suits them. And
it's, you know,
we need to
like
be part
TV,
of that.
Isn't
absolutely.
It?
It's like Netflix on demand services. We need to adopt that as well.
We've run out of time, Mel.
It always goes so quickly.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.